Turn with me, if you would, now to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. You may turn this off. Okay. In traveling out to Yuba City, California, that's where I went. I wasn't sure where I was going, and that's where I went, Yuba City. That was our first time meeting the brethren there, with the exception of one couple who came down to the conference in Orlando a month ago. I met one couple down there. But we had such a heartwarming experience meeting and getting to know the brethren and hearing their own experiences that led them to the gospel and led them to Christ. And when I came back home and started thinking about what the message would be for tonight, this particular scripture and this particular event came to my mind, and I just heavily related to this, and I felt what a man named Barnabas felt right here. And I want to show you tonight what that was and what it is. And to do that, I'm going to give you a little bit of background information for this text. All right, give me just a minute here to set up what is happening, and then I'll show you what I want to show you. This is chapter 11, Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 10, Peter preached the gospel to some Gentiles. All right? Some Gentiles, not Jews. And he preached the good news of that gospel. He preached forgiveness in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just sang, "Saved by Grace." I'm going to tell the story. I was saved by grace. And Peter preached that gospel to these Gentiles, and they believed it. And they confessed Christ to be their only hope. And in chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "The apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." And I'm so thankful to hear that, because that's what we are. They heard that the gospel went to the Gentiles, and that's exactly what we're the result of that right now. We are the heathen, outcast, wretched Gentiles. That's us. Verse 1 says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem," which is Israel, "they that were of the circumcision contended with him." They did not like hearing that. They heard about it, and they didn't like what they heard. They thought Peter was casting their pearls before swine. Verse 3 says, "Saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them." That sounds like what they accused our Lord of, doesn't it? "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them." You received them, and you ate with them. They wanted to know, why did you do that? Why did you give the hope of the gospel, the promise of God to his people? The gospel is only for his people, Peter. Only for his people. Why would you declare it to unworthy, wretched, heathen, outcast Gentiles who don't want it and don't deserve it? Why? Peter said, "Because God told me to." Now, I'm not going to take the time to expound on all this, but I'm sure most of you are familiar with the fact that Peter had a vision of a sheet that was let down. The Lord showed a vision to him, And it was about him preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. He recalls it right here. Let me just read it to you. Verse 4, it says, "But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth." There were certain animals the Jews were not allowed to eat. And the Lord told Peter to eat them. And he said, I'm not going to do that. Verse 8, "Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And that's the gospel for us. He said, if I have cleansed it, don't call it unclean. What I have made clean is clean. Verse 10, "And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house." So three men showed up and said, you know, would you come with us? And he said, me and six Jews, six brethren went with him. Verse 13, "And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" Peter said, that's the reason why I did it. Verse 18, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." They said, what amazing grace. It just hit them. The other apostles and the Jews there, they said, what amazing grace. God really did come to save sinners out of every tribe, kindred, and tongue on this earth. His mercy truly does extend to the uttermost. His goodness really is unto all whom he calls to believe. How amazing. They all said, that blesses my heart, Peter. That's such a blessing for me to hear. Verse 18, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Verse 19 says, "Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen," you remember Saul of Tarsus, "held the coats and gave the command for Stephen to be stoned to death." And that was a persecution that scattered the Jews, scattered God's people. Verse 19, "They which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." That's who they were commanded to preach to. The Lord said that the gospel was to them first, to the Jew first. And as a matter of fact, the Lord commanded in Matthew 10, he said, don't go into the way of the Gentiles or the Samaritans. But he said, you go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who they were commanded to go to, Israel. But here's what they didn't know yet. That held true. But here's what they didn't know yet. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. And it's not in the letter. It's what God does on the heart. So they thought it was Jews only, but verse 20 says, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, the Greeks, the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Wouldn't you love to see that? Verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now this is what I wanted us to get to. The Jews sent Barnabas to Antioch to meet some Gentiles that they had heard about. They had heard that there were some people a long ways off who had heard this message, and the Spirit of God had moved on them and caused them to believe it and to cast their all on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jews sent Barnabas to the Gentiles to meet them. Now, you Gentiles sent me to Yuba City to meet some other Gentiles. This is where the comparison differs, all right? We're already outcast heathen over here. And y'all sent me to go meet a whole bunch of other outcast heathen. And I called them that, and they agreed with me. But in the family of God, the outcome is exactly the same. Because in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. In Christ is all and in all. And they heard here that there, in a faraway place, was a group of sinners that God's Holy Spirit had come to and given them faith to turn from their idols. And I'm going to tell you, that's all that's out there is idols. And that's all that's here. It's idols. They are idols everywhere. But they heard that there was some, there was a group, a gathering, scattered abroad, scattered out, that God had caused them to turn from their idols to worship and serve Jesus Christ, the true and living God. And they sent a man out to meet him and to preach to him. And this right here was his experience when he went. All right, verse 22, it says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. This was Barnabas's experience. He went to them, and he saw the grace of God. When he got there, he saw the grace of God, and he was glad. And he said, it's true. It was true what was told to us about that group out there. He said, God has some sheep out there. And we have some brethren out there. How do you know, Barnabas? He said, I saw the grace of God. That's how I know. I saw the grace of God. And I come back to you tonight telling you the same thing. I believe I saw the grace of God out there. I believe God has some sheep out there. I believe we have some brethren out there. I believe we witnessed the grace of God. And for our message tonight, I want us to understand what that means. All right? I want us to just quickly, I'm already halfway done, but just quickly, I want us to understand what it is to see the grace of God. What is the grace of God? This is so important, and it's so particular, and it's so tedious. What is it to see and hear and experience the grace of God? What did Barnabas recognize when he came to those brethren and saw the grace of God? I'm going to tell you what it is right now. What is the grace of God? It's Christ alone. That's what it is. It is Christ alone. He is the grace of God. He is the amazing grace of God. He is the gift. That's what the word grace means. It means gift. The fact that the Father gave Christ and then Christ gave Himself, that is God's grace to us. Christ is the grace of God. The longer that I go in this thing of studying and preaching and being a believer, the more I realize that Christ is everything. The longer I go, the more I realize that. Christ is everything. I believe that my faith and my message is getting more and more narrow. I believe it is getting more and more singular the longer I go. Christ is everything. Christ is all. I believe, had I gone out there and just seen Calvinism, and a lot of people are not going to understand what I'm saying, and so I'm going to try to make it clear. A lot of people are going to hear this and they're going to think, "What are you? I don't understand what you're saying." I'm going to try to make it very clear. Had I gone out there and just seen Calvinism, which we preach. Well, Gabe, aren't you a Calvinist? Yeah. I mean, I prefer to say Christianist, but I mean, I love John Calvin, but I don't follow John Calvin. I don't even follow the Apostle Paul. He said, "Follow me as we all follow Christ." But had I gone out there, there's a lot of Calvinism around here. There's a lot of people talk about the doctrines of grace and all of these things. And had I gone out there and just seen this doctrinal outline that we preach, you know, honestly, Calvinism without Christ is just dead doctrine. That's all it is. That's all it is. And here's what I mean by that. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I have known men before who have gotten a hold of election and have never gotten a hold of Christ, the one we are elected in. Really? I mean, really? You can get a hold of particular redemption and never get a hold of the fact that we are the totally depraved sinners who need particular redemption. This statement was made a long time ago. I'm starting to realize how true this is, all right? The statement is, one can know how God saves sinners and can yet not be a saved sinner. You know what you find when you find the grace of God? You find a group of sinners. You find a group of people who need mercy. Really. You find a group of people who don't just know election. They are pleading election with all of their might. What makes the difference in those two types of people? Here's the answer. Christ. Christ makes the difference. Doctrine didn't save us. Christ did. Christ saved us. He is the issue. He is the message. He is the grace of God. Had I gone out there and just experienced doctrine, even correct doctrine, I don't think I could have come back nearly as glad. I don't think I could have. True doctrine is good. Gabe, are you saying you're okay with false doctrine? No. True doctrine is good, but it's not Christ. It's not Christ. Doctrine alone is not Christ. In order to have the grace of God, we have to have Christ. The grace in election is Christ. We were chosen in Him. The grace in redemption is Christ. We weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. We were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. The grace in the call to life is Christ. We live and move and have our being in Him. The grace that will keep us to the end is Christ. We're being kept for His sake. That's why we're being kept, for His covenant's sake. It has to be Christ. When the Spirit comes to God's people, He points them to Christ. He speaks of Christ, and then he causes them to speak of Christ. Hannah and I flew out last Thursday afternoon. And our flight left at 5:58 p.m. Eastern time. And we landed at around 2 o'clock in the morning, our time. And by the time we got to Rick and Denise's house, we got to bed at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, we got a little bit of sleep. But then we got up Friday and had some coffee. Rick and Denise picked us up and they drove us home. And we talked for a second in the car, but we immediately went to sleep and kind of got to know each other first thing Friday morning. And Hannah started talking with Denise, and I started talking with Rick. And I'm telling you, immediately, our conversation went to the amazing grace of God toward us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately. Brother Rick said, I was talking, and he was listening, and he was talking, and I was listening. And as he was talking, he said that he gets lost sometimes in the wonder of the fact that God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit has, from a never-beginning eternity, this is what he said to me, from a never-beginning eternity, from a span of time that no man or woman can fathom, he said, it just amazes me to think about the fact that He has been thinking about us. He has been loving us. When He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love, He said, when I think about when there was nothing there, darkness and void and nothing was formed, in his mind He thought about us. And in His heart He loved us and He desired us. He said, I understand why we love Him. But to think about the fact that He loves us and He has loved us for all of this time. Just to think that Christ wanted to do this for us, that's what He was talking about. That we were His desire. This was the desire of His heart, and that desire was His people. He desired to lay down His life for us because He loved us that much. He said, I'm just overwhelmed by the thought of that. I was sitting there listening to him talk, and I was sipping on my coffee, and I was thinking, he and I are going to get along just fine. We're going to get along just fine. That was not doctrine. That was Christ. I hope I'm somewhat making a point here. We're talking about the grace of God. And if you want to get to the grace of God, you got to go to Jesus Christ. You got to get to Jesus Christ. When the grace of God comes to a sinner, it will lead that sinner all the way to Christ. It will not stop at doctrine. It will not stop at a head knowledge doctrine. The grace of God will take that sinner all the way to the person and the character and the attributes and the will and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Some of the brethren there in California, and I've had many brethren in other places say this, and it's a very familiar story to God's people, but they were saying how they were lost in false religion. And then their path was crossed with some correct doctrine, and they were so thankful for that at the time. But then in the midst of all that doctrine, they realized something's still missing. And they said that they stayed in that condition until the Lord revealed Christ to them. That's what the weekend revolved around, Christ. They saw Christ. They saw the finished work of Christ. They heard the sovereign voice of Christ, and they rested in Christ. Every time I hear a story like that, I'm so glad. Honestly, I'm so glad. That makes my heart rejoice every single time. That's the grace of God to a sinner. I think I've been too long, but I'll be really, really quick. Just hold your place here, and let me show you two quick things, and I'll be done. Go to John 11. What I want to show you is two examples of what I'm talking about here. Two examples of what I pray we will see in us and in God's people, and something that makes a difference and makes a child of God glad. John 11, look at verse, this is when Lazarus died. Look at verse 21. It says, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Verse 22, she said, "But I know," okay, "I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now watch verse 25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Martha, do you believe this? She said unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." That right there is the grace of God. He brought her from doctrine to Christ. That's what it is. He brought her from doctrine to Christ. Brother Henry used to say that salvation is roughly 18 inches, the distance it takes to get from the head to the heart, from doctrine to Christ. Turn over to John 4. This is the woman at the well. John 4, verse 19. This woman at the well answered and said, this woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Verse 25. The woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am He." Doctrine to Christ. Doctrine to Christ. John 1:17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is God's grace. And we're told that in our text, and we're left with this exhortation. All right, I'll close with this. Go back to our text, Acts chapter 11. He is the grace, and this is exactly what Barnabas told us right here. Acts 11, verse 22, it says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto that very grace that had been given to him. The Lord Himself. He is God's grace. He is God's gift. He is God's love and God's favor and God's kindness and His tenderness and His mercy to sinners. He is the peace that's given to us. He is the comfort that's given to us. Barnabas said, cleave to Him and Him alone. Cleave to Him and Him alone. And I say that same thing to us. If God's grace is going to be found here, it's going to be found in us clinging to Christ alone. Cleave to Christ alone. May it never be said that we have strayed from Christ alone. If God will keep us right there, we will be glad. We'll be so glad. Thank God for His grace in Christ. All right, stand together with me and let's all turn to hymn number 17.